I'm going to start with this one. If a preschooler is exposed to his sexual abuse, what can we do to lessen the side effects of that trauma? One of the worst things you can do is not talk about it. Keep the communication lines open. Talk about it. Don't force them into anything. But just let them know that you care about what has taken place. And if they don't want to talk about it right now, tell them that's okay. But don't just leave it at that. Don't forget about it. Keep checking up on them. They're probably embarrassed. They probably feel shame and all kinds of things because of what happened and how people will look at them as if anybody finds out. But keep those communication lines open. And when they feel that you truly are trying to understand and you care, the time will come when they can actually start talking about it. But I think one of the key things is to keep that communication line open. Believe them. In the sexual abuse area, probably the thing that is the most difficult to deal with, it's actually harder to deal with than the abuse itself, is if they were abused and they told someone and they weren't believed, or they were told, well, what did you do to make this person do that to you? So if those things happened, it's actually harder to work with that than it is to actually work with the abuse. And if any of these questions, I don't want to answer them exactly like you wanted to, feel free to ask later, that's fine. If we see sin in another, should we comment? What reactions and responsibilities do we have as a Christian? I understand the concern that if you see sin in another person's life, but I'm going to share a quote that I came across or that stands out to me, and that is, a person doesn't care how much you know until they know how much you care. One of the key things in when you're addressing a sin issue is to let the person know you care. You want to try to understand where they're coming from. Don't just nail the sin head on because of whatever. Maybe they're driving a wrong car, or maybe they're wearing wrong color clothes, or maybe they're whatever. Don't address that. You want to get to the needs of the heart and try to understand what's going on inside and understand them. I've actually had a person tell me that sat in some of the sessions that made a comment like this: I'm amazed what you get away with in addressing sin issues. But like I mentioned, I think it was last night, I mentioned that I don't address the sin issue in the first session. But you can actually address the sin issues, and when the person knows that you care about them, you can address the sin and they don't feel rejected by you if they know you understand them. And that's a key thing. The next one here is, you talked about, referring to me, steps to get rid of immoral dreams. Can you give steps to take for freedom of daytime wrong thoughts? Well, I'm going to say I don't necessarily have 5 steps for the daytime. But I'm going to say use some of the same five steps that to do at night. And if you actually pray until you fall asleep, which is number 5, then you're praying all day. And if you do some of those, take some of those steps, focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, focus on, ask God to clear everything that is there. Take your mind, take your thoughts, clean up anything that's there that needs to be cleaned up. Use some of those 5 steps. Just tweak them a little bit to make them work for the daytime. Okay? Because when you're filled with God, those things have a much harder time to get in. So I encourage you to do that, because, or like the verse that we talked about, when we walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we could spend a lot of time, what does it all mean to walk in the Spirit? John 10:10, the enemy cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. The enemy has one goal for you. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy you. That's the only reason he comes. That's the only reason he comes around. That is always his agenda, regardless of how good it looks. But the last part of that verse is, but I am come that you might have a life and have it more abundantly. We can experience the abundant life. So as far as exactly five steps to freedom in daytime, hopefully some of the things that we looked at in this last session can help you with that as well. How do I discern an innocent, affectionate touch from an adult to a child to a sexually molesting one? How do I know the difference? If someone touches my child, how do I know that it's going to be a wrong touch or a right touch? I'm going to say that if you're in tune with the Spirit of God and you feel uncomfortable with it, that can be a signal. But on the other hand, if you are a person that was sexually violated, you can flip in the other ditch and be so scared that anybody that touches your child is a sexually molesting touch. And I'm not sure we can always discern it. But I think the important thing is that we're in touch with and in tune with God. And be aware. Do not take things for granted. If you're suspicious of anything, be alert. Watch. Be careful. If you're suspicious that something is going on, check it out. Most times, abusers will lie. But watch for what the child says. Listen carefully to what the child says. I didn't go over them, but there's some behavior patterns that you can watch for in a child if they've been sexually abused. There's different behavior patterns that come up. There's also some physical symptoms that you can watch for. It's very explicit. It's not something I want children to see, but it's if you're interested, we do have a photocopier here and I can make copies of it for you. I like to give that information out just to parents to be alert and to be aware of things to watch for. And then also those misconceptions that I talked about earlier are on the back side of it. So if anybody wants some of that, I can make copies. Any questions from you? Go ahead. Thank you for that. The question is there when you're, if there's an emotional connection attached to a thought that comes from the devil and you're sure it's a thought from the devil, that can be a combination of the two, where it becomes a flesh thing trying to fill that emotional void and the devil using that it's important to recognize that if the devil's using that, to renounce the devil and then start working on the emotional issue. Does that answer your question?